As the Premier League takes a pause, it's time to take stock. It's a busy time of year, so how much planning can we do? Who has the friendliest future fixtures? And just what should we do with previously popular players? Hello again, it's FA Cup weekend. You didn't think we'd be taking a break from the pod, did you? Nope. Sam and Jules are back with me. Bonjour. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Sam. Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
And today we have a double dose of Bonfield. The other half of FPL family, Lee Bonfield, joins us. Now, disclaimer, we're recording very early on a Thursday. My first question has to be, are the kids going to be ready for school by the end of this with neither of you there to make sure they're getting themselves sorted?
Good question. I think they're both getting to the age now, Kelly, where they got to sort themselves out. They've got to be more independent, right? So they've got to do their own breakfast and all that sort of stuff. So, but if we get some background noise or some interruptions, you know what's happened.
I'm also wondering if maybe the cat that we sometimes see wander across Sam's screen is potentially monitoring the kids right now. Potentially next week we're going to have the cat on as well. Who knows? Anyway, it's great
to
have
him
on.
He's doing very well in FPL, by the way. Yeah, he's top 10K.
he's probably doing better than me. Listeners know just how badly my season is going.
That's not hard, though.
Jules, savage.
Morning to you too, Jules.
Not gone through the intro yet.
I'm just saying, it's the truth.
I can't believe we're a couple of minutes into the pod and we're already dissing my terrible team. Enough about me. Everyone wants to know, Sam and Lee, who's currently coming out on top of the FPL family rivalry? That's what you'll know, isn't it, Jules? Yeah. Come on, Lee, who's on top?
Well, currently it's me, and it has been for most of the season. So I'm pretty happy from that perspective. But since the restart, I have to say, I am looking well and truly over my shoulder because I've been okay since the restart. I've had a bit of a, I guess, 50-60 sort of rank rise over the games that we've had, but Sam has been doing particularly well as is well documented on these pods, right? You guys have noticed, I'm sure. So yeah, at the moment it's me, but looking over my shoulder, things can change.
I'm coming for you.
Also, be honest, is your son ahead of both of you?
Ooh.
By not just a little bit, Kelly, by like a country mile. So Max, our 9-year-old, he's at like 30K right now. Everything the boy does turns to gold. He can't make a bad decision so far. And it's one of those where every week I say to Lee, I look at Max's team and I go, God, I really wish that was my team. Like, I'm thinking about wildcarding just to get his team in. They're that good at the minute.
So, Jules, what we've done here is we've got the wrong Bonfield on this morning.
Clearly.
We've got two of them.
Need to get our 9-year-old on, totally.
And neither of them are the one that is the actual expert. I'm joking, of course. I'm joking. I'm in no position to be saying that at the moment as well. And especially, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we've got your other half on, Sam, but my other half, Max, he'll kill me if I don't mention this. Every week he's like, if I hadn't mentioned yet, not only am I having a terrible season, but he has been climbing the ranks so much so that he's now up to around 3,500 in the world.
3K.
Wow. He's having, nice. A bit like you just said there, Sam, he's having one of those seasons where everything he does turns to gold. Yeah. It was Mahrez a couple of weeks ago and I was going, he's just played in the cup. Do you really want to play Pep Roulette? Oh yeah, he does. Oh yeah. That's what Morris does. This week, Friday night, I think I'm going to go in Ketia. I said, good signing.
Oh, nice.
United,
nice.
Really? Like, how are these people doing this? It's incredible.
I think I'm doing the show with the wrong people. I need the two Maxes with me on the show. Like, I'm in the wrong place.
The thing is, Kelly, he's just desperate not to pay for your wedding. That's what it is, you see. Yeah. So Max is now at the point where he's like, I've just got to keep smashing it.
We have got a head-to-head called Loser Pays for the Wedding. And right now, I'm saving up because I think it's almost done, to be honest.
You can't catch it, really. There's not enough games left and points left.
Okay, this isn't really how I wanted to start my Thursday morning, I've got to be honest. Let's bring it back around to your guys' seasons. Lee, tell us, you said since the restart, Sam's season has been going well. You've been doing okay, but how has the season been going? What good or bad decisions have you been making?
Mostly good, I think, Kelly. I think I'm up into about 150, 160K, which I think is okay. I've been flirting around that sort of area for some time, though. So certainly since the restart, I think when we restarted, I was 250K, I think. So, you know, a reasonable rise since then. But that sort of area, I've been around there for a while. And I wonder whether I'm not taking enough risks, potentially. My team feels kind of template. It has felt a little bit template for a little while. So I'm looking ahead to this kind of period of double and blank game weeks and just thinking, if I can navigate the next 2, 3, 4 weeks correctly and effectively, that's the differential I need, right? But there's a couple of players that are on my radar that are fairly low ownership from teams that have double game weeks. And I'm hoping they're going to make the difference for me, because at the minute, I feel as if I'm stagnating a little bit. And as I said, looking over my shoulder, Sam is making some really good decisions. So I'm going to have to push on. I'm going to have to go out there and take some risks.
That was a wonderful teaser to stay listening to the pod to find out just who those players that you're looking at are. Looking forward to hearing more about those. Jules, how about you? How was your game week overall? And what's your rank at the moment?
I'm 400k in the world, which is not bad. I've had a good restart and a good week again, 80 points. I think a lot of people had good weeks because Haaland, if you captain him, and you know, obviously with the game that he had and the 34 points. But Mitoma, who we've mentioned quite a lot recently, I brought him in, and like Hugh Kelly, and obviously he got the 10 points. Could have been better because I left Kepa on the bench because of my boy Aaron Ramsdale, of course, and I thought that Ramsdale would do better than Kepa. Kepa returned 9 points, and I've got Lisandro Martinez on the bench as well with 8 points. So it could have been a better week, even better week. Ouch. But I was very happy with 80.
What about you, Sam? How did it go? As Jules said, it was one of those weeks, wasn't it, where you thought, I've had a brilliant week here. And then you checked everyone else's and you were like, oh, it's because the players that everyone has returned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had 78 this week and I thought, oh, that's a nice score. But actually, as you say, it was kind of reflective of the scores that a lot of people were getting because of, you know, the amount of players that we all now have in our teams. Since the restart, I've gone up like a million. So I think I'm at 300k now, which is really nice. And it kind of has helped me to take some small educated gambles over the last few weeks. So captaining Rashford instead of Haaland a couple of weeks ago during the double game week, making just little changes to my team that don't necessarily affect the number of overall points that I'm going to pick up, but just give you that little boost because I'm still keeping the players that are highly owned and that would hurt my rank if I took them out. But just investing in a few differentials here and there, like you said, with your Max, with Mahrez for the double game week, I did that too. And those kind of differential picks, the ones that are under 10% owned, they make a massive difference right now in terms of getting you rank gain when everyone else is also having a good time of it because they have Haaland who's, you know, getting hat tricks.
FYI, we're making a ban on mentioning Marva Hafner. I'm not even going to say his name. He's had more than enough airtime and I'm hearing enough about it. Exactly, Jules. That's the response I'm going for. And but it's such a busy time of the season, isn't it? It does feel like there's football on every night, everywhere you look, just the way we like it, especially you, Jules, because we know you watch literally everything. This week, of course, we had the first legs of the League Cup semi-finals between Southampton and Newcastle and Nottingham Forest and Manchester United. This weekend, no Premier League, but it is the FA Cup. And the next midweek, of course, is the second legs of the EFL Cup. Now, Sam, I want to make my transfers, but with all of this going on, I'm hesitating. A lot of managers will be, won't they? There's so much at play at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was just that we had all of those matches, I would still recommend that you wait on your transfers. But of course, we also had the double game week 22 announcement, which is dependent upon what happens in the FA Cup. So we need to see whether Leeds and Manchester United get a result in their FA Cup fixture, because that will determine whether they play twice in game week 22. So we need them to either win or lose. If they draw, that double game week is not going to happen because that happens at the point where the replays of the fourth round will be. So it's even more important than just kind of there's a lot of fixtures and we should wait in case there's injuries or in case there's lots of rotation that comes about of the amount of times that, say, Newcastle or Manchester United in particular have got to play. But that double game week announcement makes it all the more important. And of course, the other thing to say is that what happens in the EFL League Cup will have a massive consequence in game week 25. So knowing what that is ahead of time in terms of which teams are in the final and therefore which teams won't play in 25 is going to be so important to us.
Yeah, we like to look long term, don't we? As FPL managers, we pride ourselves on not making transfers for 1 week, though at the moment, I feel like I'm trying to look just 1 week ahead because I'm so desperate for the points. But Lee, at this time of year, it feels really hard to plan ahead, but we still kind of have to. So how far ahead are you looking at the moment?
I think I've got the kind of, Sam mentioned game week 25 there. I mean, that's quite an important week because the outcome, as Sam says, of the League Cup semi-finals will determine what happens in 25. And actually, we're pretty sure, aren't we? I think that Manchester United are going to get through to the League Cup final being 3-0 up from the first leg. So their fixture against Brentford, we think, probably, you know, and will not happen in game week 25. Bit more uncertainty when it comes to Southampton versus Newcastle, given that the two only won 1-0, didn't they? Although that was away from home, so maybe you'd expect Newcastle to go through. But to answer your question, Kelly, I think that 4 to 5 week horizon is where I would usually look. And regardless of whether we've got, you know, blanks or doubles or whatever, that's usually the sort of horizon that I look at anyway in FPL. Whether that's good or bad, though, is up for debate, because actually the likes of, and we mentioned Mitoma before, Jules, perfect example, right? I've not gone for Mitoma last week, despite the fact he's got form and fixtures. Yeah. And perfect example of what we're discussing here, right? I didn't go for him, even though he's got the form and the fixtures. Everything you'd want in FPL right now, he's got good underlying stats, everything else. But I didn't go there because I thought, well, what if he doesn't play in game week 25? Because Brighton are due to play Newcastle. If Newcastle get to the League Cup final, that fixture won't go ahead. So there's kind of uncertainty around the blank game weeks upcoming over the next 4 to 5 weeks where you actually might miss out on some returns in the immediate future, like with Karu Mitoma. It's very difficult, but that's the art of FPL. It's trying to balance the short and the medium term and maybe even the longer term. And I'm the sort of manager that will look out sort of 5 or 6 weeks usually and see what the fixture horizon looks like.
Well done, Jules. I thought you were going to jump in on Mitoma because you did tip him early on, didn't you? A few weeks ago, you said that he was going to come good.
Yeah, no, I'm glad, Kelly, you brought him in and you copied, you know, what I said. You listened. It's just I was in awe of Lee describing how he looks at, you know, the next 4 or 5 weeks. Because that's not what I do, as you know. So, like, yeah, we should all do like what Lee does, but not many people, I think, would be as disciplined, I think, as Lee, and like as good as planning. Because I can't plan that far ahead. It's not possible.
But is that a good thing, Jules? Because I'm saying I'm looking ahead. I've got a few game weeks in the future, but I've missed out on what did he get? 10 points, Karu Mitoma, last week, and the fixtures for Brighton in the short term actually look pretty good. I got Bournemouth at home this week, so again, I'm going to be sitting here looking at double game week as Arsenal, Manchester United. We're going to talk about a lot of those over the course of the pod, I'm sure. And I'm not going to get Karu Mitoma again for Bournemouth at home. So again, I feel like I'm going to be missing out because I'm planning for the future. So it's a delicate balance, isn't it? Do you go for the short term or medium term? That's the art of FPL.
Yeah, particularly when you're chasing like me, like last week, I had that in mind what you were saying, Lee, but I was like, right now I just need the points because by the time it gets to that game week, I could be even further behind. So it's getting the balance. I'm channeling a bit of Sam and a bit of Jules. I spend every Thursday morning with them and I'm trying to take a bit of both of them. Yeah, that's what I'm doing at the moment. And just to clarify, we've been talking about the League Cup. It is the final is, of course, in game week 25. If Newcastle make the final, it'll be they and Brighton the blank. If Manchester United make it, as Lee is predicting is highly likely, they and Brentford blank. If it is Forest, they and West Ham will blank. And Southampton, if they make it, it'll be them and Leeds that don't play. So just bear that in mind if you are a manager like Lee that likes to plan ahead. Let's take a stock of the fixtures approaching us then. Firstly, Jules, if we take a look at the FDR, they're top of the league. And they're top of this as well. The dream scenario for us as FPL managers and Arsenal have a double in 23. I feel like a lot recently we've debated which Arsenal players to have. Help us out here. We can only have three of them.
Yeah, I mean, the double game week has one of, you know, one game against Manchester City in the two games. So this is a tough one. But it's very appealing, of course. You know, Everton away, then Brentford at home with Man City as well in the double game week, then Aston Villa, then Leicester, then Bournemouth, then Fulham, then Crystal Palace. Then so the list goes on. So it's a good time to invest in Arsenal players if you don't already have them. We mentioned attacking-wise especially. Eddie Nketiah has to be very appealing to everyone because the form that he's in for your third striker or second striker, even if you don't have Kane and Haaland already, for example, at his price, and even with the price rise, and even if now a lot of people are bringing him, it might be the good time to bring Eddie Nketiah in your team. We mentioned Saka. Martinelli looks the one really that is, although he's still good, and you could see he still touches the ball a lot in the opposition's box, for example. There's still a lot happening around him, but he's maybe a little bit less efficient than he was earlier in the season, and certainly he feels like Saka and Odegaard and Nketiah now as well are the kind of leaders attacking wise for Arsenal. And then defensively, Ramsdale, Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko also are good assets to have, maybe, although they've been better, you know, attacking wise than defensive wise so far.
Yeah, Lee, we've had this debate a lot on this podcast. So I'm sure you've heard about which Arsenal players to bring in. It does feel like the attack is best to cover. Do you have three Arsenal? Do we need three Arsenal?
I don't have three Arsenal right now. And the two that I do have, I would like them to be other Arsenal assets. So I have Ben White and I have Gabriel Martinelli right now. And coming up into these fixtures, so Everton away, Everton in a little bit of state of flux at the minute with Frank exiting and goodness knows what's happening there. Then they've got the double game week. Then the fixtures, as Jules was saying, looks pretty good from game week 24 going onwards. And they play in 25. They've got everything going for them right now, Arsenal. But the two that I've got, I do worry a little bit about Ben White because Tomiyasu is fit now. So is there going to be a bit of a rotation risk there? We saw Ben White come off at halftime against Manchester United last game week. And I think largely that was down to the fact that he'd already been booked. He's up against Marcus Rashford. I think Arteta's looking at it and protecting him a little bit from that second yellow card. But nevertheless, Tomiyasu is by trade a fullback, whereas Ben White, you would say historically by trade, is a centre half. So could there be some shared minutes there? And then Gabriel Martinelli, you kind of feel the same with him because they've brought in Leandro Trossard, who is a left winger by trade, as we know from his Brighton days. So what happens to Gabriel Martinelli? Does he go up front in that Nketiah role? Well, I don't think so, because Nketiah's proved that he can fill in for Gabriel Jesus. That was one question mark I had actually when the Brazilian got injured was, can Nketiah step up? And he absolutely has. Brilliant for us, isn't he? And he's been great last game week as well. So are Martinelli and Trossard going to kind of share some minutes out there on the left as well? So the two I've got, I don't feel like I want to move them on because that feels a little bit sideways coming into these fixtures. But if you haven't got one of either Ødegaard or Saka right now, those are the two, I think, that would be top of my shopping list. Now, do I want to move sideways from Martinelli to one of those two? Probably not. I think I'm going to add to Martinelli and grab one of them. Difficult to say which one I'm going to grab. I think I just about lean to Saka because of the form that he's showing right now and the fact that he's got penalties in his locker. But listen, if you've got Ødegaard in your team, that is a really nice place to be as well. But to answer your question directly, Kelly, I think you do want three of them ahead of the double game week in 23, but there's a lot of question marks over which three to have.
Sam, you have Martinelli as well, don't you? Because I do.
Yeah.
I think you were similar to me in that you thought keeping Martinelli over Saka with the price difference was worthwhile, but actually Saka's proven he's that price for a reason.
Yeah, it was a big decision actually coming out of the World Cup whether to have Martinelli or Saka, because I had both of them going into the World Cup and I wanted to make some changes. In my mind, I wanted just to go with one Arsenal because their fixtures were a little bit difficult over the early part of January. You know, they had some big games in there against the likes of Manchester United and against Spurs. And I was kind of thinking, do I want to be heavily invested in them when we've got other teams that maybe have slightly nicer fixtures and I could invest there? So I decided I was just going to go with one. And then the decision for me for Martinelli over Saka was one about budget and saving budget to allow me to invest in other players across the pitch. But it was also about the amount of value that I had in Martinelli. And I think this is something that we as FPL managers do quite a lot. And we look at our players and we go, you know, I've got Martinelli and I've had him for ages. If I sell him now, to buy him back again is going to cost me a lot more money. And I don't necessarily have that a lot more money to spend. So in my mind, the safer bet was to go with Martinelli, knowing that if I then had made the wrong call and I did need to get to Saka or somebody else, I'd just take him up at that stage and protect my team value. Looking back on it, I don't necessarily regret that decision because protecting team value is something that I always look to do. However, it was the wrong move in terms of the Arsenal players of choice right now. I agree with Lee. I think Saka is the one that you want. I only have Martinelli from Arsenal as well. I don't have an Arsenal defender. But in some ways, I'm sort of quite pleased that I don't have an Arsenal defender because I think it enables me now to kind of really think carefully about which three Arsenal players I would like, because I do think the treble up is what you want, ideally. And Nketiah seems like a bit of a no-brainer, particularly as I'm sitting on Darwin Nunez at the moment. So going from Darwin down to Nketiah feels like a nice opportunity, one, to free up a lot of budget, but two, to just invest in the form team and the form player. And then it gives me free choice between my other Arsenal attacker of choice, probably Saka. The caveat for that is, of course, if Manchester United play twice in game week 22, which we're hoping that they will, how much investment do I want to make in Arsenal? And how much should I actually be focusing on getting a third Manchester United asset to really play that double game week fully?
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about the potential of that double shortly. But sticking with the FDR and teams with favourable fixtures, when you're looking to make your transfers, which teams should we be targeting, Lee?
So we've spoken about Arsenal there, but I've got one eye on Leeds as well. So they've got the double game week in 22, Kelly, haven't they? But Forest away, Forest have proved a tough nut to crack, haven't they, at home? And then Manchester United at Old Trafford. Obviously, that's not an easy game either. But given that that game week in 25, Leeds will be playing, we think, if the League Cup goes the way that we think that it's going to go, Leeds will be playing at home to Southampton in game week 25, which is a fixture that I particularly like for them. So with the double game week in 22 and probably, you know, lots of ifs and buts and maybes still in the League Cup. But if that game goes ahead against Southampton, then I do like some of their assets. And in particular, I like Wilfried Nonto. He's looked great, isn't he? And he's one of those players which he's in that kind of Mitoma bracket for me. So his underlying stats look really good. He's getting touches in the penalty area, shots away as well. So, and he plays in a similar position on the pitch as Mitoma. But again, he's one of those players that I'm probably putting to the back of the queue because of the uncertainty around the fixtures. But with a double game week coming up in 22 and some decent fixtures in the medium term, and we think probably that game in 25 is going to go ahead against Southampton, you know, he's one that I'm going to be looking at. Certainly Jesse March seems to be unleashing Leeds to be more attacking, right? And and certainly from a fullback and on the flanks, he seems to be using that as one of his most potent attacking weapons. And I expect Nonto's form to continue, not just throughout the double game week that they've got coming up, but in the fixtures that come up after that double game week as well.
If we're going to look at the fixtures and teams that have good or bad ones, Jules, we do have to look at the other end of the FDR as well. Bournemouth ranking bottom, not too much interest in their FPL assets given their form, but just above them, Newcastle. We've already talked about the potential of them blanking if they do get to the League Cup final. Of course, they've got that 1-0 lead over Southampton, but then regardless, they don't have the best fixtures. It's West Ham, Bournemouth, Liverpool, Brighton, Manchester City. Are we going to see people moving away from Newcastle? Or, as we talked about before, is there the potential that we'll miss out on points in the short term?
Yeah, the short term, you could see them against West Ham, especially at St. James's Park, and then Bournemouth away to get two wins, to get clean sheets like they've done. They haven't conceded a goal in 16 hours or something. It's ridiculous now. Like, since I think 6th of November, they haven't conceded. So even with the World Cup in between, it's pretty remarkable defensively how strong they are. And we mentioned in previous shows about Nick Pope and Botman and Dan Burn and Trippier, of course, that the whole country has in their teams, that kind of stuff. The thing is, you're right, it could be Liverpool, blank game week, and then Man City. So for those 3 weeks in a row, like, you're thinking, maybe not. And you just maybe keep one because Trippier can also get points in attacking returns, like assisting, for example, and stuff like that, or even scoring on free kicks. But maybe you don't double up defensively in those three, well, especially not the game week, the blank game week, but in the Liverpool game. Although Liverpool right now, is it a tough fixture? I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah,
City,
good question.
City, yes. Liverpool, I'm not even convinced about that. You would think there's a lot of people who fancy Newcastle to beat Liverpool, and right now they're a better team than Liverpool
anyway. Especially at home.
Especially at home, you're right. So I'm not sure how bad of a fixture that is. Potentially it could be, of course, but every fixture is. The City one is maybe the most difficult one, of course, like for everybody else. But so I don't know. I don't think you should get rid of who you have for Newcastle, but maybe just manage and maybe think, like, let's not double up defensively if you've got Pope and Trippier, Pope and Botman, Trippier, that kind of stuff.
What would you do with Almiron though, Jules? Because we've got, a lot of us have got him. I've got Almiron in my team. I think that's now four blanks in a row in the league. Yeah. And with those fixtures coming up, potentially a blank in 25, I'm finding it hard not to sell him, I must admit.
Yeah, I sold him for Mitoma for last game week. And we mentioned it last show. I had lost faith a little bit in him. I just think that there was a time where they were relying a lot on him because he was just on fire and unplayable. And I think a lot of their play was for him. Now it's far more balanced. And I think they've got Joel Linton in great form. Alexander Isak is coming and looked really good against Southampton, certainly on the goal. So Bruno Guimaraes as well. So I'm just thinking that, yeah, for Almiron, his super efficient FPL time has come to an end.
Lee, it's almost like you knew what we were about to do next on the podcast. We're actually going to play a little game of buy, sell, keep. It's pretty obvious. Probably don't really need to explain this. I say an FPL player, you guys say what you think that managers should be doing, potentially what you're doing with those players as well. And the first player on my list was Miguel Almiron.
Ah, there we go.
So Sam, we've just heard there that Lee and Jules are having a bit of uncertainty over him. What do you think managers should do?
Yeah, I'm going to be selling him as well. I think I very nearly sold him last week, but the fixture was nice and I just wanted to give him that opportunity to kind of get one more attack in return. Plus, I really wanted to hold my transfer last week going into the potential double this week. So
got West Ham and Bournemouth next though, Sam. You can't sell him ahead of those two, can you?
Well, I kind of think you can, because no return in the last four. Newcastle have been absolutely fabulous defensively, but going forward, they haven't had that like spark in recent games. It's kind of been one goal here, one goal there. And when the one goals have been coming, it's not been Almiron that's been involved in that. It's, you know, we're still seeing the likes of Trippier doing brilliant things going forward and defensively. And I mean, look, Trips is an absolute bonus point magnet right now. But Almiron, for me, way back when he started being brilliant for us as FPL managers, we said, we've never seen Almiron do this in the Premier League. And he's been here for 5 years. Is this the new Almiron? Are we getting this every week? Or is this purple patch Almiron? Are we just with him for this period of time where he's great and the art of FPL is getting off the purple patch players at the right moment? Yes, Almiron may return over the next two games. But in those two game weeks, when he's got one nice fixture, you've got other players in the same sort of price point who have got two games or have got nicer fixtures in the long term where you can hold them. So for me, even with West Ham up next, who, by the way, also looks better in game week 21,
true.
I think Almiron's a sell.
I feel like he's got a bit of credit in the bank for us. I think I'm just going to give him one last dance against West Ham and then probably another one against Bournemouth.
And then if he gives you points, you're going to struggle to sell him even more.
Exactly, right? Yeah, I'm going to keep him for the rest of the season. Yeah.
Jules, what about you?
Sold already. I'm sorry, like, you know, when you do in the auction. Sold done.
We know you're a brutal FPL manager, Jules, and that comes nicely onto my next player. Brutal, because you've never had Joao Cancelo as a number seven this season.
Number seven.
And you're going to tell managers they should sell, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think that his place is guaranteed in that starting 11 anyway anymore.
No, true. Yeah.
Before, there were things like, you know, death taxes, you know, and France reaching the World Cup.
Where's this going?
France reaching the World Cup final. You knew those were certain. And then Cancelo would start, like De Bruyne and like Haaland, you know. But now, you're not even sure that Cancelo would start. So I think it's too risky. I would go for Rico Lewis for the amount that you're going to save and how brilliant he is and how much Pep loves him and for what he does on the pitch, more than even Cancelo and his number seven.
Sam, what about you? And I also want to widen the question because a lot of people, I include myself in this, when City had the double, I got rid of Joao Cancelo to enable me to upgrade one of my forwards to Harry Kane. And I went in for the cheaper option, Nathan Aké, who Pep said had been incredible, who was one of the key players in their run of form,
yeah,
benched last week. What do managers do with any City defender right now?
Oh, Cancelo. It pains me owning Cancelo at the moment because every week he doesn't start. And every week I then sit there going, right, am I getting a 1 point cameo off the bench or is he going to stay on the bench? And when we're talking about a 5 million, a 4.5 million defender, you don't mind that. When you're talking about the level of budget you're spending on Cancelo, he becomes an easy sell. And when I look at the rest of the Manchester City defence that people are heavily invested in, so leaving Rico Lewis aside for a moment, because he's still a good differential in the game if you don't have a City defender. But Walker, Stones, Ake, those guys that people have invested in, of the City defence and of those players that are heavily owned, it's only Stones that I would have right now. All of the others, I think you can sell. I think you can sell Walker, you sell Cancelo, you sell Ake. Even when we just take aside the Pep roulette for a minute, Man City have only kept two clean sheets in the last eight matches. There's been that coupled with the fact that one of the games in their double game week is against Arsenal, who I think are almost guaranteed to score in that game. That game for me could be very much like the Manchester United game that we've just seen. Arsenal will go for it. They are so good going forward right now. I don't think there's a clean sheet there. And then you're going to get rotation across the double as well, because that's what Pep does. So the City defence, with the exception of John Stones, is a sell for me.
Do you need any of them, Sam? City defence. I mean, I was listening to Praz and Gianni on the Off the Bench podcast earlier in the week, and Praz, I think, put it really well, which was, yeah, we expect high upside for Cancelo and the price that he's at, but downgrading to Walker, Stones, Ake, you're still kind of not guaranteed starts, as Kelly said there, and most of those guys have got kind of a 6 point ceiling, haven't they? They can get a bullet header at any time, I think Praz was saying, right? And I think he's right. They kind of feel like they're going to peak at 6 points. So should we be looking at, you know, doubling up on Arsenal or even Newcastle, maybe not if Newcastle blank in 25. But there's other defences to go to that are better than Man City. Just because you're getting off of Cancelo doesn't mean you have to downgrade to a City defender, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to sell Cancelo this week. Spoiler alert for the end of the pod about my transfers. He will 100% leave my team this week. And I'm not going to invest in a City defender in replacement of him. I'm probably going to look at maybe Arsenal, but one of the more sturdy defences that are, you know, can be relied upon to keep clean sheets and start games. Because at this point in the season, taking Man City's rotation aside, with this many fixtures, you want your bench to be playing. And at the moment, I'm relying, with an injury to Luka Dean, solely on Kyle Walker-Peters as my backup defender. So every time Cancelo doesn't play, I then lose all functionality in my bench. So if I lose anyone else to injury, my bench is looking very, very, very weak at the minute, which means I want Cancelo's position anyway to be somebody that's regularly going to start and has the potential for clean sheets. So I'm looking high up the fixture ticker away from Manchester City as a replacement for him.
Okay, so sell for Sam, sell should never have had for Jules, sell for you as well, Lee, is that right?
Yes, it is for Cancelo, yeah.
Okay, we've got a consensus there. That is good. We never agree on anything on this podcast. So there's a first time for everything. Sorry, Sam, to bring up another player who I know you've been frustrated with. Darwin Núñez, getting rid?
Yeah, but a reluctant sell.
No, keep him. No, keep him. Keep him a bit longer.
No, for me, Jules, this one is a reluctant sell. Every week I look at Darwin and go, I should tell you. But the underlying stats are good. They are good. He has.
You look at Liverpool and think that though, Sam, or Darwin.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, everybody. Liverpool generally, but Darwin as my Liverpool asset. I mean, if I had Salah, I think he's an absolute the easiest sell in the world, even easier to sell Salah than it is to sell Cancelo right now. But Darwin is a little bit more difficult because his underlying stats are actually still good. You know, he's still, when he plays, he's still getting good opportunities, still getting good shots. But Liverpool, sorry, my dear, are really off of it. The fixtures also look tough.
That's how we talk to each other in this house.
The fixtures are tough. They've got some solid defences that they've got to play against coming up. And there's no double on the agenda for them. And you've got a high price tag. I bought him for 9. He's now at 8.8. So he's already reduced in price. He's averaging a point every 17.2 minutes so far this season. But when we look at the rest of the forwards, Ferguson, Mbeumo, Isaac, all of them have better points per minute than Darwin does. In fact, there are 26 forwards in the game that get an FPR point more quickly than Darwin Núñez does.
You're not going from Darwin to Evan Ferguson, are you? Come on.
That's the transfer. As you well know, that is the transfer that I nearly did last week. I nearly did it.
You should have.
I should have, Jules. But at the time, I was like, my long-term strategy was thinking, well, actually, maybe I want Nketiah for the double. So maybe I don't want to go Ferguson because then I'm going to have to move to Nketiah. And rather than be more like Max, I decided not to go for Nketiah ahead of that Manchester
United. There's a ban
United
on mentioning him.
Well, I'm going to channel my inner Kelly's Max for the next few weeks and probably replace Darwin with Nketiah. But I think Darwin's an easy sell. Lee, surely as a Liverpool fan, you think that that's the case as well?
Yes, although I do think that he adds a lot to our game. We've looked pretty impotent lately when he's not played.
But Lee, he's one of those players, isn't he, that he might add a lot to Liverpool, but he doesn't add a lot in FPL in terms of he may be good in Klopp's system, no? But
yeah,
he's
one of those. He's so frustrating for us in FPL, isn't he? Because he's like an XG underachieving monster. Mm. Yeah, he gets in all the right positions, gets the chances, and then tends to fluff his lines.
I love watching him. If I wasn't a previous FPL owner that used to watch him enjoy it and then spend every few minutes getting really excited and then,
and then annoyed.
I have to say, though, I think the next couple, though, Wolves and Everton, and actually, if you'd have said to me maybe a week or so ago, would you keep him for that Everton game? I'd say, yeah, absolutely. You know, Merseyside derby at Anfield, you've got to keep him for that fixture in game week 23. But with the changes at Everton, you know, probably going to have a new manager by then, you'd think. So they maybe have a bit of a new manager bounce. Maybe that's the perfect game for Everton's new manager and new system and a new setup to come back and beat Liverpool at Anfield there, he says, with a bit of a sweat on, you know. But I think I'm going to give Darwin Núñez a little bit more time. Maybe that's my red goggles coming out a little bit there. But like you say, Kelly, if you looked at him on paper, you looked at him from an underlying stats perspective, you'd absolutely keep. But it's difficult when you actually watch him. I agree with Sam. I think Salah is a sell. I don't think he's even had a shot on target in the last four games, never mind a goal. So he's well out of form, but I think that's symptomatic of Liverpool. I don't think it's a Salah issue. I think it's a Liverpool issue. So if I'm thinking that way, then surely I've got to be thinking the same about Darwin and saying, well, yeah, same applies for him, right? But until Liverpool get some players back from injury, like Luis Diaz, like Diogo Jota, I don't think that I'm going to be heavily investing, but I have got Darwin at the minute and yeah, probably going to keep him for a couple of weeks. Same as Almiron, right? I'm being too stubborn here, aren't I? I'm being way too stubborn.
You're too loyal to the players that have done well for you, aren't you?
I'm a loyal, I'm a loyal guy. And you know, I looked at, you know, look at Almiron, look at Darwin. They've been good for us in the past. And these are good players. They don't just become bad players overnight. But again, we spoke before about the art of FPL. And one of the other arts of FPL is, can you spot the form? Can you get on and off of the form at the right time? And yeah, I feel like I'm not doing a great job of that at the minute.
Jules, your conclusion on those Liverpool players, Nunes and Salah?
I've got Salah. I keep him because I think that, okay, this is going to be the week. He can't have turned into a bad player like that so quickly. It's not possible. And then he's rubbish. Like, literally, it's his brother playing, not him.
He's not had a shot on target in the last three games, Jules.
Yeah, it's terrible. So I will sell him this week. He has to go. And if I had Darwin, I think I would let him go as well. I understand what Lee is saying and what Sam is saying as well, but I don't think Liverpool have the kind of momentum right now to justify having players who cost that much in a team where they don't bring you points anymore. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, this one surely has got to be a little bit easier. Mitoma, surely we're all keeping him, Jules.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Well, simple.
If you have him, you know, not like Lee.
Yes, very true.
I should have got him last week, no doubt about it. But yeah, talk us through your thinking, Jules, because I'm sitting here and I don't know why I didn't get him. I do know why I didn't get him, because potential blanks and potential fixture schedule in the future. But here's a guy that's on form. We were promised a Zerbi ball when he came in, didn't we? And we were kind of waiting to see what that looked like. Well, we're starting to get it. And they are looking like a really good attacking outfit. And a lot of FPL managers would have gone for Solly March on the other side because of the two goals and the assist a couple of game weeks ago. Why did you get Mitoma rather than Solly March then, Jules? The underlying stats for Mitoma in particular look good though, right?
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, the great World Cup, we mentioned it, because yes, I think we've been talking about him for the last 3 weeks, really. And I was even slow to bring him in the team because he had the assist that was not really his assist against Liverpool that brought him points as well. He had point the week before. He had point, obviously, in the last game week. With the goal, he's just a dribbling machine, isn't he? He's maybe the best dribbler, one of the best dribblers in the league at the moment. And I think in the way that the Zerbi gives him the freedom to attack players one-on-one and go and dribble and make something happen like that, and him and Estupinan on the left-hand side have a lot of the ball. Solly March was great against Liverpool, but I think he's more of a, like, give him the ball and if he can find an angle to shoot, he will shoot. I think Mitoma brings you more into the game, and certainly the Brighton game and the Zerbi ball is more emphasis on Mitoma, you know, in the creativity than on Solly March. So yeah, we thought, not just me, but you know, the guys as well, that it was a good time to bring him in. He's got that confidence and he's so young, so much energy, and Brighton are doing really, really well.
They are, yeah.
Hold for Lee and Jules, hold for you as well, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have him either yet. He's a buy. The only caveat I put on the buy is that I think he could be, and he's likely to be, the player that I don't get because I'm focused on double game week players. And that's always a risky position to put yourself in, because the single game week players can outscore the double game week players easily with the nice fixtures that they have. I want to prioritise an Arsenal midfielder. I want to treble up on Manchester United for their double. All of that comes at a cost and a sacrifice. Mitoma might have to be the sacrifice that I don't get for the next couple of weeks. But if you are already tripled on Arsenal, if you already have enough investment in Manchester United, then I think Mitoma, outside of the double game week players, is the easiest buy this week.
But don't forget, he's going to potentially blank in game week 25 if you reach the final.
But if you sell Almiron to get Mitoma, you're probably creating yourself less of a benching headache in 25.
That's true.
Okay, I don't want to be that game show host that tells everyone we're running out of time, but we are. So let's try and rattle through these next few nice and quickly if we can. Kepa. One of my big regrets was not getting Kepa. I just went for the cheap double up after the World Cup with Ward and Iversen. Well, we've seen how Leicester's defence has been doing. Mm. Is Kepa still a good FPL option for managers that went for him, Lee?
Yeah, he is. We've spoken about Arsenal, Man United, Brighton. I haven't got the luxury, frankly, of looking at my goalkeeper situation. I've got Kepa, 19 points over the last two. Sensational. Absolutely sensational. I've got Ward as my backup. just provides such good value, I think, in the Chelsea fixtures. They've got Fulham, Southampton and Leeds and Everton as their next four home games over the next sort of, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. Easy hold for me. I've got other things to do in my team.
Jules, Sam, you both got him, haven't you? So I'm guessing you're holding. Would you recommend managers buy him at this stage or not?
Yeah, I would. I mean, also Reece James and Ben Chilwell are about to return from injury. So we're about to see the Chelsea defence strengthen, which should add to Kepa's potential for points. So yeah, easy hold for me. And I think if you've got goalkeeper issues like you have, Kelly, like if you're a Ward and Everton owner, taking Everton to Kepa and having the ability to have Kepa in goal regularly with Ward on the bench is a great one.
This game is making me think I need to wild card because I can't sort my goalkeeper out because there's other things to sort out. We've already spoken about him briefly. Martinelli is that conundrum, isn't it? We want in on that Arsenal attack. Lee described it as a sideways move to go from him to another Arsenal attacker. But is he a buy or is he a sell, depending on if you currently have him, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I love him dearly, but I think I will let him go. Even if it's just to bring Saka in, for example, instead, I think the swap, if you have Martinelli, the Saka swap is a very easy one that makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if I totally agree with you, Jules. I don't think it's an easy swap to say. You're asking for trouble, aren't you? Taking out an Arsenal asset that's been really good over the course of the season, Martinelli. All right, bit of a dip of form, but...
Yeah, 3-game week without a return.
Here I go again with the stubbornness. He's been good for us in the past. I'm going to keep him. So I should be learning from you, Jules, on your Mitoma move. But it feels so wrong taking him out ahead of that schedule. But if you haven't got Odegaard or Saka, those are the two to focus on. I agree with you.
I mean, for me, I think I probably will sell Martinelli and do the sideways move because I think, you know, when you look at the underlying stats, Odegaard and Saka are offering far better value for money right now since the restart. And, you know, add Nketiah into that mix too. 4 goals for him, 3 goals for Saka. Martinelli and Odegaard are on 2 goals each. But Odegaard has an 8 point per start average right now. Saka 6.6 points per start. Nketiah 6, Martinelli 5. Now, that doesn't mean that Martinelli's a bad option, but he's less involved than he was in the attack in the earlier part of the season. And Trossard's arrived. So there's a slight risk, well, more than a slight, there's a risk now of shared minutes and rotation amongst those players, which means for me that Saka is the standout pick there because is Odegaard suddenly going to keep scoring all of these worldy goals that we're seeing from him or is this a little purple patch? But with Saka, we have penalties probably. We know that he is the sort of player that's going to score goals on a regular basis. So Saka for me, sell Martinelli if you need to get him in.
Okay, one final player in this section because what I've realised is every single player sparks a massive debate. Alexander Mitrovic, been a popular forward, had a brilliant first half of the season with Fulham, limped off against Spurs. And trust me, he's been a frustrating own. I didn't have him for the first game week after the restart, which is the last time that he returned. Blank since then. I'm selling. I'm looking at Eddie Nketiah. Lee, what do you think of that?
I do like the move. Yeah, I do like the move. Again, it's a bit reluctant because, again, he's been good for us, isn't he, Mitrovic? Did you have him for the penalty, Kelly, a couple of weeks ago?
Which one? I've had him for every penalty.
Kelly!
And Newcastle.
I also had him against Southampton and was at that game. And at the end, the game was done and Fulham got a penalty. And I was like, yes!
Get in.
I'd brought him in for that game week and then he missed. And then I thought, okay, he'll get another one. And he doesn't miss two in a row, does he? I wasn't watching that Newcastle game live. My phone just went mad and I was like, something's happened in FPL.
Yeah.
This is another Kelly's disaster since the World Cup. I went for Wilson over Mitrovic in the returning game from the World Cup because there was doubts over Mitrovic's fitness, you'll remember.
Mm.
Then I realised, okay, I really need him because obviously he scored 2 goals. Wilson was ill and I was worried about Wilson's return. So then I swapped to Mitrovic for the Southampton penalty miss. And since then, I think it's 2 points. Mm. Across those game weeks.
I'm so it's done. Your fault, Kelly, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I was at the Spurs game on Monday night. I watched him limp off. I then asked Marco Silva post-match for the benefit of the interview. And also, he's their star striker. I had to ask what's happening with him. And he said, it's a recurrence. It's the same injury. And he said he's been battling with it. So although he scored those 2 goals after the restart, it does seem like he is not fully fit. And the fact he's limped off again worries me slightly. So anyway, I'm selling. Are we all selling, yeah? Can we agree?
I think probably, especially if you're going to Nketiah, Kelly. I like that move, yeah.
I've not owned Mitrovic yet this season, and I don't think I'm going to either. He's a sell if you've got him. There's so many other good options. You go Evan Ferguson if you want to. You can go Nketiah is the absolute.
Oh, you love Evan Ferguson, don't you?
I do love Evan Ferguson. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, rightly so. He's in brilliant form at the moment. Mm. Look at me sticking up for Sam there. There was a family domestic and I was like, no, that's a good shout. Okay, let's round off this podcast. Before we do our usual transfers and captains, we do have to have a word on the potential double game week 22 for Manchester United and Leeds. Lots of people already looking ahead to which Manchester United players in particular you'd want for that fixture. It's got to be Marcus Rashford scoring again in the EFL Cup last night. Worryingly, Luke Shaw missed that one with illness, but hopefully there's enough time between that game and the resumption of the Premier League. Of course, we can check on what happens against Reading in the FA Cup as well. Which United players should we be having, Jules?
So Rashford for sure, 100%. I've got Lisandro Martinez, as you know. I think he could play the two double game week games. Maybe just one. I don't know. We will have to wait and see what Ten Hag says. I think Bruno Fernandes, who scored against Nottingham Forest in the Carabao Cup, looks in great form too. And Casemiro is obviously back from suspension as well. So you've got there's a few assets there for you to get. Wout Weghorst, if you fancy tall Dutch strikers, for example, if that's your stuff, if that's your thing, if that gets you going, obviously got his first goal. So, a bit of momentum there as well for him.
We've all been there before, Jules, with Weghorst in double game weeks. Yes, we've been there.
Why did you have to bring that up? We've been there once before.
I think I had him for the only goal that he scored for Burnley and then obviously sold him.
And then it all went wrong. Yeah. I think for me, three United is an absolutely viable strategy, and that's something that I'm looking at. I've got Rashford, I've got Shaw. I would like to treble up with Bruno Fernandes for this week too. I think they're the three standout picks.
I'm just going to throw another name into the mix, Lee, because he played pretty well against Forest. What about Antony?
Yeah, I think if you want to go different, yeah. But it's too inconsistent for me, Antony. You're never quite sure what sort of player is going to turn up. I think if I was going to go a bit different in that Manchester United attack, then I probably would go for Weghorst. I think there's still some question marks over Martial and his fitness and game time. So having got off the mark, I think had Weghorst blanked again in the cup, you'd be a bit like, okay, well, is it kind of the Weghorst that we saw before in FPL? How many goals was he actually going to get? But he's off the mark now. Looks a pretty integral part of that side as well. I think he's going to get the minutes because I think Ten Hag can see how much he benefits Rashford and Antony. But for sure, Rashford is the one. And actually, if you've still got your triple captain chip, I don't because I spent it on Haaland a couple of weeks ago. But if you've got your triple captain chip, Rashford is absolutely one to look at for, is it Palace at home, Leeds at home? Doesn't get much better than that, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a nice double game week, isn't it? Sam, just in case managers are listening to this and a bit uncertain, when will we get confirmation of that double?
So we'll know after Saturday's FA Cup fixtures for United and Leeds. As soon as the final whistles blow, as long as they haven't ended in a draw, the double game week will go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So keep an eye out. That's why you can't ever take your finger off the pulse in FPL. May not be any Premier League, but you need to keep across that, of course. Let's round things off, as always, with transfers and captains. Sam, you've already given us a bit of a spoiler. In fact, you all have, but just confirming what you think you're going to be doing. Obviously, there's a lot of time and a lot of play before then, so they could change.
Absolutely. I've got two transfers going into this week because I didn't spend one last week. My current plan is to go Darwin to Nketiah. I did look at Nonto, who Lee was talking about earlier from Leeds, but actually both Arsenal and Leeds have the same number of fixtures in the next 2 weeks. It's just that Leeds double potentially in 22, whereas Arsenal have theirs in 23. Across those three games, I think I would prefer Nketiah, and in the more long term, I would too, because we don't have the risk in 25. So Darwin to Nketiah. I'm going to take Almiron up to Bruno Fernandes to triple up there. And then I'm going to take Cancelo down probably to an Arsenal defender, but I haven't yet decided which one, knowing that then for the week after, Bruno Fernandes can become Saka.
A -4.
I think so. I think double game weeks are the best time to take a -4. I've got lots of problems, as in Cancelo, Almiron, Darwin. As I've said in this pod, they're all sells for me. I could hold them for another week, but I just think that the players that I'm going to bring in place of them could easily get and should get more than four. So as long as they're going to get more than four, then it's going to cancel out that -4 anyway.
Jules, what are your plans? You've probably already done your transfer, knowing you.
No, it's too early because of the FA Cup weekend.
He's going to be sensible and hold.
Yeah, for once. I've learned.
He's learning.
The show
he's
with
learning,
you.
Yeah.
Better than you. Don't forget, I'm 400K in the world. Way ahead of you.
You may have reminded me.
So Mitrovic for Nketiah, I think, is the one the most likely now.
Hold on a sec. Are you copying me there? I've already said that's going to be my transfer. Isn't I wouldn't recommend copying me.
Your transfer. Yeah. I would rather avoid what you're actually doing. That makes you 1.1k.
Touche.
Last week I did Trossard to Mitoma and it paid off. So it's not always a disaster. Lee, what about you?
So I really like Sam's moves there, and I'll be doing similar in terms of focusing on Arsenal, Manchester United. I don't think I'm going to move for Nketiah though, because in doing so means I'm probably only going to have Martinelli from that Arsenal midfield, and I do want either Odegaard or Saka. So I'm looking at upgrading Almiron to one of those two and doubling up with Martinelli in midfield, in the Arsenal midfield. I'm going to need a bit of cash to do that. So I'm probably going to unlock a bit of cash by moving Kevin De Bruyne to Bruno Fernandes this week because of the double game week for Manchester United, with a view to potentially moving back to Kevin De Bruyne or another Manchester City midfielder in game week 23. So there's a little bit of hokey-cokey going on with the Manchester City midfield, but that's the current plan. It's going to be De Bruyne and Almiron for Bruno Fernandes and Saka or Odegaard.
Nice transfers. Of course, all of those could well change. So if you look at any of these guys' teams after the next deadline, yes, it's different. They haven't tricked you. It's probably because things have changed in terms of all of the cup competitions and everything else that's at play. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Are all of your teams going to be in the FA Cup by this time next week, do you think?
Liverpool got to go to Brighton, and I'm not convinced that we're going to get too much at the Amex. It's going to be a difficult game.
Spurs have got to go to Preston. That
we're off to
tricky.
Preston. Yeah, but I hope we get through. I love a cup run and we really, really need a trophy.
That's a debate for another podcast, another time. Jules, are Arsenal going to beat City? This is the warm-up for the big clash in the Premier League in a couple of weeks.
First time they meet each other this season, isn't it? It's going to be great. Although I think there'll be rotation a bit on Friday night, but Friday night as well, to start your weekend, is the perfect game to watch, whether you're an Arsenal fan, a City fan, or just neutral.
Selfishly, from an FPL point of view, I hope there's plenty of rotation so that all of the regulars are back in time to play in our teams. We'll enjoy all of the FA Cup action this week. We will, of course, be back next Thursday with a proper Game Week 22 preview. In the meantime, keep an eye on fantasy.premierleague.com. See you next week. Bye-bye.